Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Right now, we are joined by SNY NBA insider and host of The Putback, SNY's digital NBA show, Ian Begley. Ian, we've been talking about Mitchell Robinson and the possibility of the Knicks trading Mitchell Robinson. Where do you think the organization stands as far as Mitchell Robinson goes?
Yeah, they've been pretty close to the vest on Mitchell Robinson, his rehab, his health. He hasn't spoken to the media all year. My educated guess and kind of what I've been hearing is they feel good about his rehab, how he's going, and kind of he's on this linear track. I think there's a degree of optimism that he could be back in early February. Because of that, I'm assuming that their preference is to keep him, to have him back healthy and have him playing at the level that he has showed he can play here in New York, which is a strong offensive rebounder, good rim protector. That's exactly what they need. The questions around Robinson's health are there and are legitimate, but I do think in a perfect world, Mitchell Robinson is the backup center for this team throughout February, March, April, and however far they go in the playoffs.
And do you think that they're trying to, I've read some stuff from you, obviously, about Jericho Sims. If they were to make a move, is it possible to get a better backup center and keep Mitchell Robinson, or would they have to move Mitchell Robinson if they are to upgrade this team as far as backup center or potential bench move?
Yeah, they have the salaries. Like, let's say it's a Jonas Valanciunas out of Washington. They have the salaries necessary to make that trade without Mitchell Robinson included. So that it's possible. It gets tricky because of different salary cap rules for the Knicks and the trade exceptions and where they are in the current CBA. One thing they can't do is take back less salary in a trade that they send out than they send out. But they can make a Valanciunas deal work, a Robert Williams deal work, different deals work without including Robinson if that's the way you would go. The one thing, though, Sal, about trading Mitchell Robinson, I mean, teams, I think, want to know where he is injury-wise. They want to see him on the floor before you talk about trading for him, unless you're a tanking team and you don't care. A couple of teams I spoke with have just been trying to find out information on his health and wanting to know where he's at. So I think that also clouds any potential Robinson trade when you're talking about what you could get back for him.
Yeah, and this is just very complicated just because of the timeline here. Everybody would love to see Mitchell Robinson play, Ian, and we know what he does. You just said it again. He's a beast. What he's great at, he's great at, okay? But yeah. January 16th, the deadline's February 6th, and this is not a five-year plan. This is, a 2-3 year window to win a championship. And to me, the worst thing that could happen is, you roll the dice on his health. He either doesn't return and he has a setback, whatever, or he does come back, gets hurt again. I don't think they could win a championship without a healthy Mitch or a trade. So that's what they've got to navigate. I just think there's more urgency than I think you do, and maybe they do, to make a trade.
You know what? I'm 100% in agreement with you on the risk factor. There's no doubt that it's a risk. We know Robinson's health history. I think, you know, they thought this surgery may have would have gone better than it has. They thought, I think he would have been back earlier, certainly earlier than this point. So, you know, things have not gone smoothly from that end. But again, I could just say that people who have been around him, you know, say he looks good. He looks like he's in good shape as he's continuing to rehab. Still, I don't think he's been cleared to even sprint yet, which to me is alarming. But Tom Thibodeau thinks he'll be practicing by the end of the month, taking contact. And then, again, I think you're looking at early February, mid-February for him to come back. But there's no question. It's a very tricky dance, right? It's not as if you're trying to sneak into the play-in or sneak into the playoffs. This team is built to win now, and any hole on the roster is an issue. And so, tricky decision for those guys over there. I guess playing it safe would be to trade for somebody. But I don't know. I mean, Valanciunas, sure. I just don't see, like, the definitive answer from a backup center standpoint, and unless you want to go like a Robert Williams has as much injury history as Mitchell Robinson. So I don't see the sure thing out there.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it very complicated here. So the chemistry this year is not the same as a year ago. Listen, you had to make the trade for Cat. We're all happy they did, so Devo had to go. You couldn't sign Hartenstein, which, oh God, they miss him so much. But they were limited on the money. We all know that as well. So it's nobody's fault. I really like what they did in the offseason here, but it's undeniable the chemistry is a bit off. Did we overrate the Villanova chemistry? I mean, I know what Josh Hart's been saying. To me, he's talking about OG, and I don't even know if he wants to put you in a position to start guessing because you're around the team. I get that. But it's not Brunson. I mean, that's his boy. That's his best friend. To me, if there's a target from Josh Hart's criticisms, it's OG. And am I in the right neighborhood?
I can tell you 1,000% it is not Jalen Brunson. You are 1,000% right there. Other than that, I have some educated guesses, which I don't think would help for me to throw those out there. I'd rather know exactly who he was talking about to talk about it publicly. But yeah, we can all kind of guess, and it's not Jalen Brunson. So, some people thought, hey, those are just cliches. He's just kind of throwing those out as athletes tend to do. But in following up on it, I don't think that was the case. The impression, at least with some internally, was that was a real thing, that he was, upset addressing specific situations. And so, yeah, that tells you a bit about where this group is internally in the locker room. They don't have that same togetherness right now that they did that last year. Now, does that change with winning some games? Winning obviously can cure everything. So maybe it's as simple as that. But for Josh Hart to say what he said twice over, 4 or 5 day span, it should raise your eyebrows in terms of this group operating as a whole, as one unit, or operating as a bunch of individuals, which is, not what you want to see if you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah, and for me, I'd probably disagree as far as my guess with OG. I mean, I think it might be Karl Anthony Towns because he's the one new guy here that's had such a big presence, obviously, on this team. Even though I love him offensively, who knows how everything is fit in with the Knicks. We're talking with Ian Begley, SNY NBA insider and host of The Putback, also SNY's digital NBA show. So make sure you check that out with Ian Begley and SNY. How about the minutes, Ian? I know it's been a big thing for Tibbs. I kind of think it's overblown a little bit, although with this group, with Brunson always seemingly being banged up, with Cole Anthony Towns being fragile, and with this team expected to make a deep run in the postseason, where do you sit with Tibbs and the minutes usage?
So I just put my cap on and I put my my police badge on. So minutes police here is checking in on FAN. And one day I'm going to show up to a press conference with Tibbs. With a police hat or with a badge. I have to do it, man. I'm going to do it.
It's a great idea. You got to do it, yeah.
It's going to happen. So the thing with that is I think there's two sides of the coin. One is these guys have been healthy, and that's why when you look at total minutes, like that's why they are where they are, where other teams, maybe their top guys haven't been as healthy consistently as these guys have. But at the same time, you know, last year, I think Jalen Brunson was the Knicks' top minutes per game guy, and I believe he was outside of the top 10 league-wide. And then this year, it's much different when you look at minutes per game. And so OG Anunoby, you know, there's injury history there. Karl Anthony Towns tends to get banged up. And so there are reasons to be, I think, concerned with the minutes load. But then I would say, where do you go if you're Tom Thibodeau? Do you go to Pacome Dadie? Do you go to Ariel Hakporti? Like, where do you get these minutes from? Who are you ignoring that you could say, this guy can certainly help us? Because those rookies are talented, but I they're not game-tested. And I don't know if this is the stage for them to be game tested. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's a little bit of a risk.
Hold on. Let me just respectfully push back on that so I don't lose the point. I got you, but you don't want to experiment in round two. So yeah, throw out Tyler Kolek against the Pistons for 17, 18, 20 minutes. See what he can do now in January rather than when it really matters.
Right or wrong, I think Tom Thibodeau is fully focused, I should say, on winning that night's game. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
He's not going to, you know, throw out somebody who he thinks doesn't give him the best opportunity to win that game that night. You know, that's how he approaches it. You know, we'll know whether it's successful or not come the springtime. As you're saying, Brandon, is everybody healthy? Did they run somebody into the ground? You know, where are we? I will say, though, that, you know, like, if a Precious Achiuwa plays like he did last night in Philadelphia, Miles McBride plays like he did last night in Philadelphia, I think the conversation about minutes, roster, it quiets down a bit if you're getting production from your bench the way those guys produced against the Sixers.
That's a good point. All right, so I don't want to stoke the flames here against Thibs because I really love him. He's a terrific coach. I don't know if he's Pat Riley or Red Holtzman, but, man, he's really good. And we shouldn't just overrate that. I think some Knicks fans kind of get it twisted. He's terrific, right? However, this is a team that's built to win a championship. Every move they made, that's the direction. And we love it. They're finally really relevant again. I'm not talking about the fans because we're always fickle. From an organizational perspective, if they were to suffer the same fate if they're fully healthy and get bounced in round two this year, do they turn on Tom Thibodeau? Like, I'm talking about Leon Rose and Dolan. How convicted are they with Tibbs?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story.
connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, I can't answer for the owner. I would assume that he'd be really upset if that was the case. But I do think that he would leave the decision in Leon Rose's hands. And then to answer that question, I'm going to go back, guys, to early on, I think it was last season when they started slowly. They got their doors blown off by Oklahoma City, by Dallas at home. They were going into the second game of a back-to-back. I think it was against Cleveland. And my strong sense was they lose that Cleveland game and big changes are coming. And I bring that up because at that point, what I was hearing was Leon Rose did not want to fire Tom Thibodeau, that he was prepared to kind of go down with the ship if it came to that. Now, it didn't come to that, right? They made a lineup change. Fournier was out. Grimes was in. Derrick Rose was out. And they took off. And so I say that to say I don't think Leon Rose would make that decision. I mean, if Dolan forces him to do that, I would assume that he goes out with Tibbs. But look, things change over time. I can't tell you exactly where they are right now, but I can tell you that there is a fierce loyalty to Tom Thibodeau, I think, up and down the organizational totem pole.
Good. Okay.
And you say, Ian, Mitch Robinson expected back, what, like February 1st, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I would say a little later. A little later than that, but you're looking at early, mid-February.
All right, so let's say he comes back February 10th or something like that. February 12th, he's playing, what, 45 minutes?
45 minutes in the month of April or 45
minutes? Yo, with Tibbs, you know he's going to run him in the ground.
Oh,
last
man.
One from... No, I'm just joking. I actually love Tibbs, and I think the minutes thing is overblown, although I'd like to see him just take the foot off the gas a little bit in a regular season that, to me, doesn't mean as much when you have this loaded roster going into the playoffs. Last one from me, Ian. You expect the Knicks to make a move, I would think. Is there any way they would part with Miles McBride to maybe upgrade the bench or get two pieces, let's say, for McBride? I love him. I don't want to give him up. Is he untouchable, or could he be potentially moved in a deal?
I just don't see it at this point. I don't see that move where you're bringing on, you know, a significant rotation player, six-man type player. I don't think the attitude to move on from McBride is there at all. And I really think that if they have it their way, that they kind of not stand pat. You look to make moves. You try to figure out the Robinson situation. But, like, you look at a Jordan Clarkson, a player like that, I think is maybe who you're talking about. And I don't think there's the appetite for that. Obviously, injuries change things. Things can change over the next few weeks. But I think that's kind of where it sits. I do want to say one thing about this. The thing that I'll never understand is when your starters are in the game, when the game is, there's like a 20-point margin up or down, and your starters are in the game 3 minutes to go in the fourth. We've asked him about it. He's talked about it. That's the one thing I won't understand. The rest of it is his prerogative, and he's had success with it. So I think that kind of is where it sits.
All right, you got to help me out with this before I let you go. I'm an idiot. And I watch the Knicks every night, and I watch them for decades, and I love basketball. Nobody messes up Tom Thibodeau's name more than me. All right, so first of all, if it's Tom Thibodeau, but then like, I think everybody then says Tibbs. If it's Tom Tibbs, Thibodeau, should it be Thibs? Or is it Tom Thibodeau, and then should it be Tibbs? What is it?
Man, it's Thibodeau for sure.
Yeah.
Thibs just doesn't, it's not easy to say. So I can only assume, you know, players, people around Thibs eventually went to Tibbs because it's just easier to say. But I'm with you. It's Thibs, I think, is where it should be. But, you know, you try to say it 10 times.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It confuses me. I think an idiot.
It makes more sense, but it is annoying. I could see what Ian's saying.
So we'll stick with Tibbs.
Yeah, Tibbs. It's a better nickname.
Like T-I-B-B-S, Tibbs.
To your point, though, guys, like, when I even say Thibodeau, I'll say Thibodeau just out of habit.
Yes.
When I'm, you know.
Thank
and
you.
Just, it is tough.
Thank
it's
you.
Tough to remember that when I, and I feel badly about that. You want to get people's names right.
Yeah, and by the way, Ian, what is Carl Anthony Towns thinking with the Eagles gear in Philadelphia, that knucklehead? Come on. He had to change it halftime. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What's he thinking?
I'll tell you what he was thinking. Yeah. He was thinking, look, it's mid-January. I don't know if BT and Sal have enough to talk about, so let me throw this Eagles jersey on. Let me give him a few minutes.
Good.
Give him some run.
It's a good point. I should send him a thank you note. All right, Ian, we appreciate the time. Ian Begley, SNY NBA insider and host of the Putback, SNY's digital NBA show. Check it out. They do a great job. Ian, the producers, all the guests that he has, good insight right there. It just helps BT to bring a different voice and some education right there so the Knicks could get a backup center and keep Mitchell Robinson. So maybe we can meet in the middle here. It took us 2 hours, but now we can meet in the middle.
I'm in, and I've always liked Ian. I think he's very good. I think he's good. I think he's not a sensationalist.
Correct.
He's piped in. He's a good dude. He's going to give us the information. I was happy we had him on. But yeah, this Tom Thibodeau Tibbs thing, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, I know. That was funny.
I think everybody messes it up.
Thibodeau. But you understand why the shorter, like Tibbs is much easier to say than Thibs.
I do, but I don't agree. No, Thibs. What's annoying. So hard about saying Thibs?
It's annoying to have the
Thibs.
Nobody wants to say
Thibs. But that's his name.
Tibbs. Today, Junior.
But that's his name.
Thibodeau, whatever. I don't know.
Well, then just call him Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, okay.
Don't be like, we got to be consistent.
I think Tibbs is an easier nickname.
Okay, then call him Tom Thibodeau. If the T, wait.
So we're Tibbs.
Okay. Well, so we're okay saying the Thibodeau when we say his actual name, but we can't do it when we say his condensed version.
I get it.
What the hell's going on?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I want the path of least resistance. All right.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.